One program is headed to the Final Four. Another just suffered a loss that can't be ignored. And in football, the transfer portal keeps rewriting the story almost by the hour. I'm Rajiv. He's Justin. Here we go.
Welcome to the Bucky Report, your destination for all things Wisconsin Badgers. Authentic takes.
Oh my God.
Game analysis.
Touchdown Badgers, ring one up.
And discussion from the fan perspective.
Woo-hoo!
Thanks for joining us and on Wisconsin.
Welcome to the Bucky Report. We are your hosts, Rajiv and Justin, back together on a Monday this time to talk about all things Wisconsin Badgers. On today's show, we'll start with Badger Volleyball, a program that just punched its ticket to the Final Four and continues to set the standard for what winning actually looks like in Madison. Then we'll pivot to Wisconsin basketball, coming off a loss that raised real concerns, not just about one night, but about where this team is right now and what needs to change moving forward. We'll close out, of course, with football, where the transfer portal news keeps rolling in. What do these moves mean? What's noise? What's real? And how should fans be processing the constant churn around Luke Fickell's roster? You can find our show on YouTube and wherever you get your podcast. If you like what we're doing, hit that subscribe button, hit the like button. Thanks for all the support of the show. Sorry for the one-day delay. As many of you know, I made my way up to Seattle to watch Grandpa Philip Rivers play in that, by the way, great stadium, Lumen Field, really cool, very close game, a lot of good amount of Colts fans up there, but couldn't get it done, sadly. Just, you know, my sports all suck, and that's awful. But hey, it's okay, because right after that game, I went to a bar, a big hall, and I got to watch the volleyball game, which was fantastic. Justin, how are you doing, my friend?
Well, I was doing a lot better before Micah Parsons blew out his knee.
Yeah, and dude, Patrick Mahomes, like, it's just, it's crazy, man. Like, and my guy tore his Achilles. It's awful, dude. It's so much. It's, the NFL is insane this year. It's like, we're seeing so much crazy shit.
I think we're seeing the extremes of what the human body can actually take from a training standpoint.
It's a very good point.
Starting to come out now. You can only push it so far. You may achieve, you know, the max, and then it crumbles. And we're seeing it. It's, I cannot remember a time, like a 2 or 3 year stretch like we've had recently,
yeah,
that's remotely this brutal with some of the injuries that we've had, like Achilles injuries. That was like a one guy in like a 5 year period kind of thing when we were kids. Now there's like 4 or 5 guys a season going out with that.
And it's such a brutal injury as far as long term, like you can't do anything for 10 months. I mean, it's awful. Yeah, it's not good, man. It's not good at all. But the volleyball team, man, holy cow. I mean, first of all, I want to say thank you to my good buddy, Justin, who, and I forgot the name is already, but Brandstown, what is it?
Barnstown.
Yeah. Barnstown, bourbon that Justin sent me for Christmas. So we're each having some on today's show, which is good stuff. Heck yeah. Heck yeah. So cheers to all of you, and Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Got a little fun border on the show today. All right, man, listen, we don't talk about volleyball enough. And I want to start with a little rant, because there's been a guy trolling me on Twitter.
Like, what is he trolling you about?
He's saying like, oh, you fans like you are so funny. Like, and he sent me another thing message the other day saying, oh, that was like, was that your first volleyball game that you watched? Listen, yes, we have this podcast. And yes, we talk about Badger basketball and Badger football. Why? Because that's what our listeners want to hear about. And that's what we know the most about. That does not mean that I'm not a fan of Wisconsin volleyball. Well, that does absolutely not mean that I don't also know
about it all the time.
Exactly. And you know what? So it's fine. And I'm happy for this team. And I think all Badger fans who are not avid watchers of volleyball can be excited about this, because guess what? Those women on that team, they want that. They want the fans who aren't always there to love on them and to give them their flowers and to cheer them on in the Final Four. So anyone who's trolling me, back up.
Well, and we get to enjoy the fact that it's wide open now. Nebraska's out.
Yeah.
They were the dominant force in women's volleyball this year, and Wisconsin's got, I mean, it's not a clear path. There's still going to be tough matches, but Nebraska looked like a brick wall. Like, it didn't feel like anybody was going to be able to stop them, and they got tripped up, and that kind of makes it, it's wide open now. There's like 4 or 5 teams. Well, I mean, there's only 4 teams left. Yeah. I wouldn't be shocked if any of them win it.
I mean, undefeated Nebraska went down. And honestly, Texas was also one of the best teams in the country. And they have gone, they have went down to us. Mm-hmm. And I will say in some dominant fashion, really, like, you know, beating Stanford, taking care of them easily, and then beating Texas 3-1. That first set the first set, we were up like 24-17. And Texas came all the way back, and it was 24-22. I was all nervous. They got that done. They gave up a set. That might have been the second set. Either way, they went down one, and then they came back in the fourth set, and that's an important get, right? If you win that, and all of a sudden you go to five against Texas at home in Austin, that's a tough ask. But I gotta just give a shout out, obviously, like Charlie Fierbringer. She's the setter on the team. Without her, and if you watch the show, if you watch the game, you saw this. They're 6-3. With her now, they're 22-1. She's such a difference maker in the middle of the court there. And again, it's just sand volleyball, but as someone who plays volleyball, not nearly to that level, I appreciate the things that these women can do. It's fascinating. I mean, Mimi Collier is an incredible outside hitter, but I think one of the more impressive people on the team has been Carter Booth. She's the 6'7" middle, who I don't think gets enough service. I feel like they need to give it to her more. Like the percentage of kills that she gets on her swings is remarkably high. Mm-hmm. And I mean, listen, Mimi Collier is a star of the team. She deserves to get a lot of the hits, but I mean, so many people are playing well on this roster. And I think Carter Booth's done a great job. They're fun to watch. They're playing hard. As you said, they have Kentucky next, and then they have the winner of Texas A&M and Pittsburgh. So listen, and I don't know anything about those teams, but I can tell you that like Kentucky is going to be a tough out, but I've also just,
Kentucky was a one seed.
Wisconsin is, I don't know that they're the odds on favorite, cause you can't really bet on volleyball, at least in this state, but I do think they are kind of a favorite now to win the title, because if you look at the teams that are around them, they've got the pedigree. This team won a championship in 2021. And since then it's only been Texas and Penn State. So I'm just so proud of the Wisconsin volleyball team. And I know a lot of our listeners watch these guys. I know a lot of our listeners go to these games, and it's really nice, Justin, to have a team in Madison that's actually winning something and not making us want to, you know, like just wallow in our sorrows every week when we watch them play. So I'm so proud of those women, man. So proud.
Yeah. I mean, it's looking at this, I think I felt like they were a year away. Like we've been kind of rebuilding our way to get back. We've always been good, but it was whether or not they could be dominant and actually take down and win a title. When they got back, was it Collier or no, Fierbringer? When she was,
got back,
Fierbringer, yeah, it made an absolute huge difference with this team. And that changed everything for them. So, yeah, it's good to see them get back on track. And I'm glad they're finally televising some of this, because that's part of why the fans aren't as engaged in this as it is. It's not easy to find. They're rarely on TV. I wish Big Ten Network would do more with it, or would have an.
They do a fair amount. They do a fair amount, but yeah,
they're better. Right. Yeah, they're a lot better than a lot of the other conferences.
Often you need Big Ten Plus to really watch a lot of their games. But again, yeah, it's great. And so the semifinals are on Thursday. The championship's on Sunday, if I'm not mistaken. I'm pretty sure it's Sunday. So yeah, they're televised. ESPN will have the semifinals. ABC will carry the championship game. Listen, when I was in this hall of beers in Seattle, I forgot what it's called, but it was like this great little hall, TVs everywhere. Seattle Kraken, the hockey team, was on TV. Obviously, the NFL, the night game was on TV. And then, you know, there were like two other TVs that had this game on, or one that had the game on. And it was, people were watching it. Like it's really fun to watch. And listen, I'm gonna be honest. I don't watch a lot of women's sports, but I do really like college volleyball. And I have two people in my office who really love it and watch it. And we're talking about it today, and it's just great. I'm really happy to see that. And that's Fufu Lame. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Says A&M looks crazy good. Yeah. Yeah. A&M looks really good. They're the ones who took down Nebraska. There was a game that went to 35 points in that. Like it was a heartbreaker for Nebraska, but honestly, I'm glad they're out. Obviously it gives us something to be excited about, but yeah, I mean, it's going to be really, really good. And listen, Will Hanna, I'm also excited about the women's basketball team. I know it's early, but I like what I see so far, and a few more recruiting classes like this recent one, and they will be a handful. And I'll tell you something, Justin and I also follow it loosely, and we will talk about this team, as especially if they continue to grow.
If they ever have another game, they have like a 2-week break here. I passively looked the other day. I'm like, have we missed something? Did they lose? I'm like, is that why I haven't heard anything? And then I want to take a look, and I'm like, no, they have a break from like, what was it, the 9th was the last time they, or no, it was earlier than that. The 9th through like the 21st or something like that, they have a break. And I was like, okay, that's quite a nice little break for them, like almost 2 full weeks. It's kind of like men's hockey. I'm like, men's hockey is like English Premier League, dude. And they're sitting there talking about it. And it's like all of a sudden they have, oh, they must have international break here going on.
God, the international breaks are killer. It's pretty nuts. Like, also the basketball team, men's basketball team has a break too.
Yeah.
And I honestly thought
it's finals, I get it, but
I thought that our Villanova game was like this weekend. In fact, for some reason in my head, I thought it was Sunday, and I was like, "Well, I need to watch that game too," or Saturday. It wasn't, and when I look at my phone, I'm like, "God, they don't play until the 19th. Like, what the hell?" We're not going to talk a lot about that, but the last thing I'll say is, kudos to these women. Go win a national title. We will be cheering you on. We will definitely be talking about it on next Sunday's Bucky Report, and we're going to dedicate some time. I'm actually working, hopefully, to get a player potentially on the show in the next couple weeks after this tournament is done. We don't celebrate them enough. I admittedly don't celebrate it enough, but it's nice to see a Badger team fight and be this good. And my goodness, are these women incredible? It's so much fun. It's so much fun. Any last words on the volleyball team?
No, get it done. I mean, that's pretty much it. Like, let's bring another one home. Let's make the university proud, because good Lord, do we need some positivity. Yeah.
And for those of you that are hockey fans, again, I don't follow Wisconsin hockey that much, but I do follow in the sense I look at the scores and all that stuff, but I don't know much about the team. They're doing great. They're number 2 in the country. Just awesome. Awesome. And the women's hockey team is always good.
My 1,000-foot view of somebody who doesn't know a lot about hockey, but understanding enough to be able to look at it and be like, this looks dominant. When they're clicking, their defense is just incredible. Like, they just constantly just kind of blow up whatever the offensive game plan is for the other team. And that's what they've been doing so well, is they just counter it so well. They're a heavily defensive minded team. And it seems like what they do is they just are so physical and dominant on the defensive side that they constantly get teams taking risks that they shouldn't. And it leads to breakaways, which is why they're one of the biggest power play teams in the country.
It's great. It's great to see. And I'm going to watch more of that, especially after these playoffs sort of wind down in football. But you want to do basketball or football next? Where do we want to go next?
Let's touch on what's kind of going on here. Well, we got a couple of – the news is fresh today, so let's go ahead and hit the
– football.
Football one.
All right.
Yeah. Our inside linebacker room is committed suicide today.
Listen, so the transfer portal continues to churn. And the transfer portal is not even open yet, by the way. It opens January 2nd. We're not even there yet.
You're 2 weeks away, and it's already
– And today –
we're down 11 guys.
Look, today I'm driving to work, and I see this thing. It's we lose Christian Allegro, and I was like, you can't be serious. Like, you guys, if you listen to this show, you know how much I love Christian Allegro. And I think having Posa, Catalano, and Allegro in there, whether he stays on the inside or moves to the outside, it was going to be electric, because Allegro, the dude played with a freaking club on his hand, and he played hard. Like,
his numbers were better at that point in the season.
He was one of the bright, shining stars of that team. And I'm very, very disappointed to lose him. And listen, we lost some other guys too. Obviously, guys like Renfro and Iacomelli and Griffin. There's several people that have left for the transfer portal, but it's okay. This one stings. And there was always going to be one that stung. And it's not that unexpected, given the rise of Posa and Catalano, and that he basically lost his starting job, although he played a ton. I understand it. I am surprised by it, to be honest. Like, this one kind of surprised me, and it's not going to be the last one that surprises us, man. And it's certainly not going to be the last one that surprises from the good either. We're going to keep some guys that we thought we'd lose. But so, how much of a blow do you think this is to our room?
I don't know. Like, it's from a depth standpoint, absolutely. It really depends on what they were actually trying to do with him. It didn't really surprise me, because you're not taking Posa or Catalano off of the field for him. And what that would have led to is if he wanted to stay at inside linebacker, that means he would have had to split reps and they likely would have been lower than what he's accustomed to. Or he would have to shift to a position that he's not comfortable in with limited time. Like, he's got a couple years left. I realize that. Or does he have 1 year left?
2 years.
2 years. Okay. So he pretty much could probably add what? 60% of the schools in the country going and start day one. Probably somewhere in that ballpark. I don't blame him for going and looking for an opportunity where it's cut and dry. This is what it is. Because you have to look at it on the edge. As much as people talked about him potentially being a guy who can move to outside linebacker, that's not cut and dry either. He's learning a new position in that case. And you have a guy like Clayton who we're super high on, who I think as a pass rusher is probably more gifted than what he is. So I think that would have been a battle for him to figure out whether he could move along fast enough to play at a high enough level to keep some of the guys that potentially maybe are ready to go. And there's other young guys in there. We got Jalen Williams as a guy that had pedigree coming in. We didn't see him this last year. That doesn't mean that he's not going to be an extremely good player in his second year.
But they're unproven. Like, we think that Clayton's going to be good, but we don't actually.
He would have been unproven at outside linebacker too.
Yes, but I would argue that there's the floor at outside linebacker is higher with Allegro than it is with Clayton, in my opinion. Just because like Clayton is unproven,
but I think the ceiling's lower.
Fine, but like, but then you have this versatile sort of like swing linebacker, if you will, a guy that can get reps on the inside, that can get reps on the outside.
But he has to want to do that, Rajiv. And I think that's where the problem is.
Listen, I don't blame the guy. I'm just saying it stings. Like, I don't want him to leave, right?
Well, like, I totally understand. I'm playing it from the standpoint of I understand the logic in terms of what he did. Yeah. And I think I've seen people kind of crapping on the coaching staff and saying, I thought we were going to do all this stuff to make sure that he gets the opportunity, or that we're doing everything to make sure that we build this roster. And I'm kind of like, you can throw money at a kid. If he wants playing time or another situation, it doesn't matter. Like, there's a reason why these other, like, you're seeing top tier schools lose their depth. It's not all money. A lot of it is, I have a limited number of years to go out there and prove that I'm capable of playing at the NFL level, and I'm blocked right now. Yeah. And it makes no sense for me to try and like take these crumbs for reps when I can go another place and start.
Yeah.
And I can appreciate that.
For sure.
I'm sure it's very frustrating, but it's really hard as a coaching staff to be able to look at that and be like, well, how do we depend on any of these guys to stick around? And I think that's where when people talk about Wisconsin and saying the in-state kids are more likely to stay, I would agree with that from that standpoint, because some of them, it is meaningful to be able to play for the home school. But I don't see this as an indictment on the coaching staff. I think it is what it is. Like, this is a guy who can start someplace and basically not come off the field for a ton of teams out there, including some good ones probably, who will take him in. Ontario Turner, he probably wasn't going to play.
Yeah.
He's a special team guy. Like, I don't view that as a big deal.
My thing, and I want to be clear. Like, I have no issues with Allegro leaving. It sucks as a fan. Like, I liked him. I think he's really good player.
I've met his parents. They're a super nice family.
I wish him the best. I hope he goes to someone who's not on our schedule, because I don't want to see him, because he's really good. Yeah. What kind of, do you feel like another Big Ten team? Do you feel like he's going to go back east? Like, what are your thoughts on like?
I honestly have no idea. He's going to have some high level offers. Like, it would not shock me to see him be at a top third school, be brought in as a guy who, at the very minimum, is a very solid starter. At best, he has a chance to be a good starter for somebody. And I mean, in a high level. So if you put him on a stocked team, I think he'll show better.
I hope he doesn't go to a Big Ten team, just because I don't want to see him in the conference next year because he's good. And I don't think he's going to go to the SEC. So I could see like an ACC potentially. I could see one of those East Coast schools. Like, I'm not saying like he has to step down to like a Pittsburgh or something, but closer to home maybe, right? He's obviously from Connecticut. So like, there's that element of it. But I'm just curious. I wonder where he's really going to end up. And it very well could be like, hey, who knows, man? Who could, Penn State could come calling for all we know. But it's but you're right. It's about the avenue to play.
In fact, Campbell would be a guy I could see liking him.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Like, he lost his clear path to starting time, obviously, with Poston and Catalano have totally earned the right to start. And I think it's fine and it's a big loss. But is there anyone else that you're bothered by so far and that's left?
Not really. There's more. Like, here's a question here from Will Hanna. Will Williams, Willer, and Clayton all be back? I've heard good things about Clayton. I think Williams will be here. I think the odd man out there is probably Willer, because
I don't think Willer's going to
stay. I don't think he's going to. I think right now that room will be very interesting, and I think they're going to supplement that room a little bit with some different body types. And the type of body that they may chase is probably going to be a more Mason Reiger type guy. Like, I think all three of those, like those two, those other two will probably get some reps. I just don't see it for Willer. One of my guys in the portal that I want to see them go after, Trick at freaking Miami of Ohio, go get him. And the reason why I say go get him.
Because he made Davis Heinsohn look bad?
Well, he made a lot of people look bad. He had 8.5 sacks this year. So he had 6.5 outside of the Wisconsin game. But what I'll say is he plays with a very high motor, and I felt like there was some good athleticism there. And I like having high motor guys in the room, because I feel like that intensity rubs off on other people. So I want that guy to come in there and be able to potentially push the rest of the room into playing at that level.
Yeah. I'm fine with that. Like, I think that he's a good talent. Obviously he played well at Miami of Ohio. It's hard. You never know stepping up in leagues. Mason Reiger is going to be really hard to replace. We need to just say
absolutely.
That. Mason Reiger did things for our defense. Look, we had a great defense this year relatively, and it was the only thing that pushed us forward. And he was a massive part of that. Now, obviously, Poston and Catalano really stepped it up too. The interior guys, which some of those guys will be back, but obviously JVR Suggs, he's going to the NFL now. Like, I mean, we have to make some really key replacements. We talk a lot about quarterback on this show. We talk a lot about offensive line. But, man, if I don't want this defense to go backwards at all. We only have to go forwards here. So you've got to step up on the line from the outside and the inside. Like, you've got to take care of that defensive line. Otherwise, you're going to have problems next year, and then we're going to be back where we were a couple years ago complaining about Mike Tressel and not being able to have a good defense.
So I think there's an outside shot that Reiger finds himself all the way as high as, like, the third round.
And I think agree.
The reason I say that is because I think once you get teams looking at his film, they're going to be like, this guy was an animal. Like, from a pressure standpoint, I think he was top 10 in the country. He was one of the highest rated guys. Like, he was the highest rated edge guy in the Big Ten. Yeah. That's going to give you, like, I don't love PFF, but he was the highest rated guy they had.
I believe it.
I felt like that was legit with him, because I felt teams absolutely tried to stay away from his side because he was so impactful at pushing the line on that side that they tended to not necessarily roll, but I felt like quarterbacks tended to kind of take a step to the opposite side each time. And that helped out Cheeks, because Cheeks was such a burner that when he did get a step on a guy, there were times that he absolutely blew up the play.
Yeah, you talk about the most important positions in the NFL defensively. It's pass rush and cornerback. Like, those two positions come at a premium. And if you've got the skills, you will see the NFL field, and you're going to have a really good shot at it, because that's exactly what happens. Couple quick questions here. I don't want to talk about quarterback, but Hilton Jr. and Smith. So I'll take this one, and then I'll get your thoughts on it. I think Hilton. Listen, I really want Hilton to stay. I really, really want him to stay. I am worried about
it right now.
What?
It sounds like it's good as of right now.
As of right now. But, like, I think we'll see, right? I think there's a little bit of positivity injected into the offensive sort of outlook.
Meeting went well.
Right. When you talk about the Blazek firing, which we haven't really talked about on the show yet, but Blazek's out. What's the new guy's name? I forgot. Is it Mino?
Mateos?
Mateos, yeah, Mateos. When Mateos coming in from Arkansas, like, that I'm not saying we have no idea whether that's going to be great or not, but what it tells you is that they're making some changes. So you can feel positive about, okay, the line was clearly an issue. Blazek's out. Mateos is in. Grimes picked him. he can block in that zone scheme and he can teach that. So I feel like that's a good thing. That I think will help some of our skill position players stay. And I think if Hilton stays, they can pay him what they want. Smith, I don't know. Like, ultimately, it's going to come. I think he stays, truthfully.
As of right now, I would say yes. But that is one player who I look at it and it's like, what happens with this room? Because I don't think Hilton's going to get passed by so many guys that he's not going to be a part of the game plan for this year. There is a legitimate chance, depending upon who's available, that Smith sees somebody that's sitting on the same line as him. And then he's going to have to fight that person for the opportunity. And that's where I potentially look at it and say, there's a chance here he's not happy with the situation where he feels like now he's got an extra guy that he's competing against. Whereas, say, if, like, we've talked about Colton Joseph a lot, mm-hmm. he's got 2 years left. So at a minimum, you would have looked at it, if you're Carter, you could just say, I get my junior and senior year than to be the guy. Well, right now, if you get another guy that's kind of sitting on that redshirt freshman line or true sophomore, that kind of blows that up a little bit. So we'll see. Listen, I'm not going to advocate. I love Carter. I would like to see him figure out a way to develop and get to the point where he can be a guy here. Cause I think from an intensity standpoint, I think he really has something that the team responds to, but he's got a lot of work to do. And it would not shock me if they get somebody who ends up jumping him.
Yeah. So I think Smith stays for one more year. And then I think we see him leave after that, because
I think there's a chance.
And I think what you'll see is when Hopkins shows up, and hopefully he enrolls early and he's going to play in the spring ball. And then, you know, we can see what he looks like. And you establish the depth chart in the fall, depending on who we're probably gonna get two quarterbacks. So you got to look at that. And then if it's like, is Smith 3 or is he 4? Is Hopkins developing well? Do we see him potentially, and maybe we blow some teams out and we see some young guys? Like, whatever happens, I think after next season, one of those guys, Smith or Hopkins, is going to leave. Because if we get a guy with two years of eligibility like Joseph, which we're going to talk about in a second, like, yeah, I mean, I feel like that's that. We'll see. T-Temp says Hilton will be the number one receiver if he can tolerate it. Yeah, I mean,
I don't think that's going to be the case. I think they're legitimately, we've talked about this. I would guess there's going to be five guys. At least one of them is going to be a slot guy that they're going to try and get to push Henry. And I think you're going to look for two guys that are starting caliber, and you're going to let it shake out however it does with this. And Hilton could definitely be a guy that pushes for one of those two starting spots. But they can't afford to go into this next season without having at least two guys that they feel capable of starting.
Yeah, agreed. But listen, I think we all agree that Hilton is a talent.
He's got the talent. Like, I think that he can be a guy for sure.
The top of that draft class for me was as clear. I've said it 1,000 times. It was Posa and Hilton. And I was right about Posa. I think we all loved him. And by the way, congratulations to Mason Posa, freshman All-American. I mean, come on, man. This dude is an absolute monster.
Like, what does his season look like if he plays the whole year, like 8 sacks as a freshman?
God.
Probably. Well,
you know what? He needed that development time. He needed the time in the practice. Like, it's fine. He's going to look like an absolute machine next year. I can't wait to see it. Hooger says, I honestly think Hopkins could jump him. Let's get into the quarterback discussion a little bit, just because, yeah, first of all, I do. And the reason I think that, and I'm going to lead into the next discussion, is that I've seen Hopkins pass in person, and he is a great passer of the ball. And I think sometimes we talk about mobility, we talk about all this stuff, we forget about just being able to throw the ball with some level of accuracy and being a guy that can stand in the pocket and make reads, which is why, by the way, I wanted Billy Edwards to play so much, because I do think he was a good passer. And that's something that's important. I know that people say, well, in the Grimes system, you need a mobile quarterback, and that's fine. But I value a guy that can throw the ball, because guess what? We don't have him, and we haven't had him in a while. Right, like Tanner Mordecai could throw the ball. He could, but it wasn't
the last guy we had that could throw the football.
And Tyler Van Dyke, like we haven't had a guy that can really throw the football. So I value that, which is why I think Hopkins can go. Which is why, when it comes down to this discussion of quarterbacks, I want your take on this. And we've talked about this offline a little bit. And Shaden says, "Can we discuss O-line?" We will discuss O-line as well. I think that, like, so Colton Joseph is my number one, okay? And I just from some text messages that I received there's, in the last few, what?
There's a new guy that I have as my number one. It's not going to happen.
Well, yeah, I know. We're going to get to that. I'm going to turn it over to you in a second. Like, Colton Joseph is my number one, and I've heard things from inside the program. Some sources have let me know that they are pursuing him, and it's like, I've got text says we're going for it. Like, there's definitely Colton Joseph is 100% on the radar. He's an old Dominion quarterback. He's on the radar. He's my number one guy. My number two, now I know your number one's going to second. I don't have your guy on my board because he's unattainable, but you can talk about that. My number two is Jaden Craig from Harvard. And I know that people are like, ooh, I don't know. He's a passer. He has a good accuracy. He threw for 2,800 yards at Harvard. I like a guy that can pass. I'm sick and tired of seeing quarterbacks who are throwing for 100 yards a game. I'm tired of that. I want someone who can pass. I don't need all that mobility over the passing ability. I want the mobility, but I don't need that as the top asset. So a guy like Minchie at Notre Dame, who's another guy that we're interested in, who's very mobile, is an unproven passer. Please get me a passer. Mike asks, is Joseph a good passer? He is not as good of a passer as Jaden Craig, in my opinion, but he is pretty good. What are your thoughts on all that? And give me your guy.
So in terms of Joseph, what I'll say is there's a lot of people attacking him in terms of his completion percentage and stuff like that. Number one, the first thing I notice when you watch his film, or at least the highlights that are out there, he doesn't throw a whole lot 10 yards or less. He attacks downfield. It's a lot of slants that are at least 10 yards and then a lot of deep shots. So they are very aggressive. And some of that is playing into why his completion percentage is a little lower. He'll run a lot more mesh and stuff like that here, which will help him bump that up a couple of points. Mm-hmm. I think he can be 65%, which I think we'd all be happy to see that. That would be like, oh my God, where has this been all our lives? If we can get a guy that can be mid 60s, I don't think he's going to be a 70% guy. My other guy, number one, I've said this before we even got to the transfer portal. Brendan Sorsby was my number one guy. And I said, if he doesn't go pro and this guy decides to hit the portal, I want him. He is a total top shelf starting quarterback. And you said he's unattainable. And I completely agree with that. Because he's going to get $4 or $5 million.
He's like, going to Indiana. Let's be honest.
Indiana is being talked about as one of the teams. This is a guy that everybody in the Big Ten should be like. There are legitimately other teams in the Big Ten and nationally that should be looking at it and saying, we're not going to let Indiana take this one because we're not going to let them reload at the quarterback position. He is that good that he could be another like Heisman level guy if you put talent around him. Yeah. He's an NFL guy. He's just not like a first two round guy right now. Like, I think he'd be like round four or five right now if he went pro. And yeah, I mean, maybe he thinks he can do better next year.
If you put Sorsby on a lot of teams, he's a great guy. If you put him with Cignetti, man, that's Indiana annoys me. I'm telling you, they're going to
probably a playoff team again next year. If you put him on,
seeing what they did last year, seeing what they're doing with Mendoza, oh, Heisman Trophy. He can walk into Cincinnati and say, oh, by the way, we picked out Mendoza out of Cal and turned him into a Heisman Trophy winner, and we're the number one team in the country going into the playoff. Don't you want to come play here? Which, by the way, Cincinnati, IU, it's like an hour difference in location. I mean, it's unbelievable. Maybe there's no shot because we don't have it. He's going to have $4 million offers
before the real negotiations even start.
1 year, he's going to go to a place where he can try to win a title, go to the playoff. He's not coming here. So as far as attainability, Joseph and Minchie seem to be the guys that I've heard the most around the program as guys they're super interested in, which I'm fine with Minchie, but it's unproven. I need a guy that can pass, man. I seriously do. And I am worried about Colton Joseph's passing. I am. But as you mentioned with the mesh stuff, we're also going to roll him out of the pocket more. Like Grimes, I think, can be creative and give him high percentage looks. But what you're getting from Colton Joseph is an incredible running athlete. He can run. He ran for close to 1,000 yards, maybe.
He ran over 1,000 yards.
I mean, that's unbelievable.
And 13 touchdowns on the ground.
Now, it's Old Dominion, but he played against Indiana.
He played against playoff teams.
Yeah, I think if you bring Colton Joseph on our team, and he's durable, right? He ran for a lot of yards. He's durable. Let's, knock on wood. Like, we need that man to be healthy. I like that. But I want everyone to just go watch a little Jaden Craig. Look at his numbers. Ryan ranked him number 6 on his board. He's my number 2. Like, I really like because I value the passing. And it's maybe me overblowing that, but I am so tired of seeing guys who can't pass the ball, man. I'm done with it. Braden Locke couldn't pass the ball. Like, obviously this year, nobody could pass the ball. Can we please have a guy who can stand back there, read the field, make a throw, and throw for 300 yards a game? Because guess what? We will actually win games if we have a defense that performs like last year's.
So I'll give you my secondary guys. My number two is probably Minchie, just based off of the actual skill set. And then tied with him, if he hits the portal, which I'd be shocked if he doesn't, is Lincoln Kindholz.
Yeah.
And I probably lean towards Kindholz because I think from a physicality standpoint, I think he's a better runner. And I think he's probably got a bigger arm.
Tell the folks about Kindholz a little bit more.
Yeah. He was a guy Wisconsin wanted initially out of high school. We were really after him. I think it was North Dakota or South Dakota where he came out of from high school. And at the last minute, he was high on us and like one or two other teams. I think Nebraska might have been involved at the time. And then he took an Ohio State visit and they offered. And it was like, well, kiss that one goodbye. And this was a cycle where Ohio State actually struggled to bring somebody in. I think they just didn't have anybody that they truly felt super strong about. So they went with the guy who was a lot of potential. And Kindholz has everything you could ask for in terms of actual overall, like raw tools for a quarterback. Big arm, can really run. Like he probably from a skill set standpoint is slightly better than what Joseph has in terms of he can really run, but he's also got probably a bigger arm than what Joseph has. But he hasn't played much, just like Minchie, where you look at it and you're like, he could be really good in his first year because he's spent some time kind of percolating here. He also could be really average. And if Wisconsin has just a really average quarterback, we're probably better. But if it's somebody who's ready to take the reins and really go, Wisconsin has a chance. Like I've looked at the schedule. If they have somebody who's a good quarter, legitimately good quarterback this next year, 10-2 is not off the table if you can fill in this roster the way you need to. And this is not me saying Wisconsin has that talent. This is me looking at the schedule and saying there's a whole lot of games in this where it's like, how good are these other teams? Like, I don't know what Penn State's going to be next year. The two teams that scare me the most are clearly Notre Dame and USC. And outside of those two teams, I look at the rest of it and I'm like, every one of these games is winnable if you get the right pieces in place. But you've got to have the right pieces and it's got to work better.
Yeah, I hear you on that. There's been a lot of talk in here about the Boston College guy. Hugger says Craig is fine, but Lonergan, I don't know how to say, Lonergan is the proven version of Craig. All you're saying, my head is just going to Lonergan. So Dylan Lonergan, 67% completion percentage, solid. He threw for 2,000 yards, 12 touchdowns, 5 picks. He only had 284 completions and he threw for 20 to 25 yards. He had a yards per attempt of 7.1, okay? And Jaden Craig, by the way, threw 338 times, and he threw for 2,900 yards, 8.5 yards carry. I know they have different schedules. I'm not trying to get into that discussion, but I'm not sold on Lonergan. I just like
he's
Craig
not
better.
Really mobile. He's more of a pocket passer.
But then that's okay with me.
Yeah.
But I think Craig's a little bit more mobile.
I want to throw back in here because some of these guys are attacking the 10-2 comment. The 10-2 comment assumes that we actually spend money in the portal and attack this the way we need to, which means the offensive line has to be significantly better. You need the defensive line to have some of the cracks filled in and some of the young guys have to be ready to go. But my point is you do not have to have an overwhelmingly talented roster. Like you don't have to have a incredible roster in order to have like a really good season this next year if you have good quarterback play, because we're not really facing anybody that's that impressive that we're going to be playing. We can't suck, but you have to be able to fill this in with the right stuff.
You would have to get Sorsby if you want to go 10-2, though. I don't think you're not going 10-2.
Or you need to get Joseph. You'd have to have the offensive line be good. You'd have to have the defensive line be close to what it was this year. And you have to hope the young guys fill in at a – it doesn't have to necessarily be this level, but they have to be close. And that's a lot. That's a whole lot. And so it's not me saying this is going to happen. If I had to take a guess right now at a record for next year, I'd probably go 6-6, 7-5.
I would say 7-5. Yeah, like
– and that's assuming we get good pieces. And I'm not going to be happy with that if we really spent.
Yeah, look, 10-2 is like Cignetti level change. Okay, yeah,
that's talking about hitting on everything.
That to me is way over. It's not possible. Just I'm with Bo Dragon certainly. Like, yeah, I agree.
I just think the schedule is weak enough.
The schedule, but it looks weak now. But then again, look at what we did this year. Maryland beat the crap out of us. Like, I mean,
this is not me looking at it from our standpoint of where we're at right now, because it's not good enough. Right now, if we played next year's schedule, we'd probably win 4 or 5 games. Like, we don't have the pieces to go in there and do that this next year. But we're also kind of looking at it through the lens of the teams that we played this year, which were significantly better. Like, we had – who wasn't a bowl team that we played this year? Mid-Tennessee State, was that the only team? No, wait. Yeah. Maryland didn't get in either.
Maryland. I think
everybody else was.
Yeah.
So we faced 10 bowl teams.
Yeah.
And multiple – or 3 playoff teams. 3? 4? 4. 4 playoff teams.
4 playoff teams. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, look, the schedule's bad for sure. Like, 10-2 is to me, it's a bridge too far. But nonetheless,
no, I'm not advocating for that. Like I said, 6-7-5 is where I expect us to fall.
It's going to be really interesting to see what happens. Bill Woj said he joined a little late. The odds are pretty good right now, Bill, of getting Hilton back.
A lock, but I would say it's probably 65%, somewhere in that range.
And listen, it's all about money spent too here with the quarterback. Like, ultimately, and I said this, we talked about this on last week's show. Pony up, all right, get a quarterback worth something. We got to do it. The other position, obviously, is offensive line, that you'd need a lot of guys there. I think I'll continue to say you got to have a starting center, you got to have a starting tackle. Those are the two things. You got to have a starting tackle, because if Haywood's on the left and whether it's Mandel moves back to guard, whether you get a starting right tackle, or maybe you get a swing tackle, you've got to have a starting center, which is very hard to get in the portal.
Sounds like Brunner's gone.
Yeah.
And so which, if he's now, gone, now that three. Means Mandel and Cubberly are your two guards.
Yeah.
You're going to have – you have to get a center, because I don't think we're quite ready for Corey. You need somebody who is experienced that can hold that position. And then a right tackle.
And you need depth too. It's not just about the starters. You better have depth. So this is, I mean, obviously we did that show where we did the show last week. Go check out last week's if you haven't listened to it. We went through every position and talked about how many we need. And we mentioned 3 or 4 linemen. I don't know what did we have on our list. I don't even remember now. But
4. I had 4.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, in either way, like, we're going to need that. We're going to need that step up. But I think in the end, like, Colton Joseph, if that's the guy you want, this is what I'm saying. If that's the guy you want, for F's sake, just go get him. Go pay the money, because there is mutual interest there. I've heard that. Mutual interest exists with Colton Joseph. Yeah, if he needs $2 million, then drop $2 million on the table. If he needs $2.5 million, then drop $2.5 million. If you said that you were going to spend more, you went on TV, you released it to Jesse Temple, anyone that would listen, you said all year, trust us, we want to keep Luke Fickell, we're going to invest in the program. Okay, well then frickin' prove it. Then go get a quarterback. Because if you don't get a quarterback that's high on people's boards, then you are just full of shit. And we're not going to take that. No Badger fan's going to take that right now. You need to spend the freaking money.
And what I'll say is, if Bill Woj, if Kellner predicted 7-5 publicly, if they're saying they're going to go out and spend big and 7-5 is an acceptable result, then you can piss off. Cause that tells me that you're not serious. If you're seriously spending money, like the top 6 with the schedule they have next year, you should be able to be talented enough, bring in enough talent that 8-4 should be in play.
Let me ask.
It's going to cost you.
Yeah. Before we move on to basketball, another name that's come up a little bit is Dylan Raiola. Are you any interest in that?
I don't have any interest in him. It sounds like Oregon's going to go after him heavy, which he feels like an Oregon quarterback.
He's not that good.
No, he's not.
People.
I feel like, so here's the deal. I've watched numerous games by him, and my gut impression on him is he's fine. He's a good college quarterback. When we talk about the guys that you like go to a good team that are going to be studs and like win you a playoff, he's not that level of good. Like, he's going to require an excellent ground game, and you're going to have to probably not rely on him to make multiple big throws per game, which guess what? If you're going to be facing Ohio State, Georgia, I won't say Indiana yet because I don't think the talent level is quite to that point yet, but some of those teams that have freakish level rosters, Texas A&M's probably in that ballpark, you're not going to be able to get away with a quarterback that can't make like 3-4 NFL throws a game. Like, he's going to have to make some thread the needle throws for big plays that end up winning you that game. And I don't know if he's that guy. I don't think he is. Like, I wasn't super impressed. I know he was a five-star coming out of high school. I didn't think he was that great throwing the ball. I thought there were a lot of times where he didn't drive the ball down the field enough when he was throwing the ball deep. And because of that, I was like, he's just got really good wide receivers. Like, there's guys that have 5 yards on their defender half the time when he's throwing it up.
I mean, the dude thinks he's Patrick Mahomes, and it's just nonsense. Listen, if Dylan Raiola wants to go to Oregon, then if Oregon wants to sign Dylan Raiola, hey, more power to you, buddy. Go for it. Because I don't want Dylan Raiola. I don't think he's a good quarterback. I think that if he was in a really good situation, like on an SEC team that has an incredible defense and NFL wide receiver talent, like if he was on Alabama, just for example, or Oklahoma, he would perform better and he would look okay, right? He would look good. But there is just no chance that he is a difference making, in my opinion, a difference making quarterback in the Big Ten or at our school. Like if he went to Michigan, I feel like that'd be different. But he's not going there because again, Oregon is a team that requires precision with their quarterback play. They don't like at Alabama, it's kind of like, look, you just need a guy that can do the work because everyone else is going to be great. Oregon, you need a good quarterback. I don't think that he's go get him, Oregon, and then you're not going to be happy.
I'm going to throw this one out here real quick. Will Hanna, yeah. Badger QB price, $2-3 million. I think it's higher than that, but it's going to be over multiple years. So a guy like Colton Joseph, maybe like $2.5 million, but it might be $5 million total over 2 years. I think that's probably the ballpark that you're looking in for Wisconsin. I don't think they're going to get into like a Sorsby. Like I legitimately think there's a chance Sorsby goes for $5 million.
That for sure. He's the number one guy on the board.
For 1 year, I can understand not with all the places that Wisconsin needs help. I can understand not throwing that kind of money at one player and saying, we're putting ourselves in a tough spot for having to fill in some of these other areas where we're not quite ready to roll.
For me, ultimately, I want experience there. This is why I don't like the Kleinholz call from you. Because like it's unproven. Like I don't want Minshew either. We have Hopkins coming in. We've got Smith there. We have guys we can develop. Give me a guy that like Jaden Craig, who's thrown for almost 5,000 yards in 2 years. Like I just think of, like I want a guy that can pass. God, it's a broken record.
We'll get somebody that can throw, man. I will guarantee you. It's probably going to be a top five, top 10 guy. So yeah. They're going to get somebody that has value. Some of the people, we're not going to go into too far into the portal because there's so much that we don't even know right now about what the portal is. So I'm not going to dive into like a wish list or anything like that at this point.
And half the guys haven't even announced. And as the portal opens, we'll talk about that. I think this sums up that before we move into basketball, this sums it up really well. Badger Pat says, just listen to your list of needs. Man, I don't know how this is going to happen. This is a very fair take. I think it can, but it requires us spending to the level that we say we're going to spend, which is upper third in the conference, which I don't think is going
to happen. It's going to cost us $30 to $35 million for me. We're going to want to be a really good team this next year.
We're going to get people. But I think Badger Pat is totally on this with this. Like it's going to be very hard for us to make this happen. What I did think was going to happen, I didn't think we were going to beat Nebraska. I said that because I thought Nebraska was way better than people thought. And look what they've done now at Illinois. What the hell happened to the Badger basketball team against Nebraska? Like, what? I mean, just give me your overall take on what the hell you're watching out there.
We're bipolar. I said we were like earlier in one of the earlier games that we're front runners. I think that's absolutely true. Like if we start clicking, we just roll for the rest of the game. But if we get punched in the mouth, we just do not recover. Like this team does not want to be in a fist fight of a game. If it starts getting mucked up and the game starts getting really physical or execution at a really high level, they don't want to play that way. They want to play like a bunch of guys at the Y who want to run down the court and jack up threes. Nobody wants to run things on offense. They don't want to run any motions or anything like that or get in any type of actions. They want to stand around and let the one guy ISO, and then they're shocked when there's nobody to pass the ball to. Well, you got to cut. You got to move. If you want to make things happen, that's got to be the thing. It's what Greg Gard said post-game. He was like, what are we doing on offense? We did a great – and he was right. He talked about the first, like, 5 minutes of that game against Nebraska. We were up for a little bit. Was because we were moving and cutting and making plays and passing well, and then we stopped doing it. We just fell in love with the three-point shot. We can't afford to do that with this team. And then defensively, oh, man. This team is really going to struggle if they can't outshoot teams, because there's just too many spots where they're either too raw defensively or just do not have the talent level athletically to be able to be good defenders.
So I think everything you said, I agree with. I think ultimately I've said this before too, like the standing around is so annoying, the settling for shots. And we've been saying this even during the wins, you and I have been saying that, like, you can't just settle for three pointers. You need to work the ball. And if you get a wide open three, fine, but it's five out. They're just passing around the perimeter. There's no touching the post. There's no like effort to go in there. And of course, once again, Stephen Crowell, huge missing piece right now, but get someone else to do it. You've got to force the ball into the post. You've got to be able to have the threat of scoring down there, which is what Crowell could do. Thus, then people collapse, you kick out, you run this offense. And no one's doing that. No one has any ability to do it. And the physicality, the lack of physicality is so annoying right now. And I want to talk about blame now. First of all, number one is Greg Gard. Because you adapted and I gave you a ton of credit and I will continue to give the man credit. He's done a great job. Kirkpenny was a very critical piece of this team. Kirkpenny's now gone. And more importantly, Stephen Crowell's gone and you needed to do something differently. And I thought all the weight that was going to be added to Nolan Winter, we were going to do all these things. I think they tried. I think Nolan Winter has failed in his ability to actually be a low post.
I think he wants to play in the low post.
Right.
Like, I think he's uncomfortable.
He's tried. And he's failed and he is uncomfortable because he doesn't. I don't for the life of me, I don't understand how someone that big is that uncomfortable down there, but okay. So he should be that guy. AB could be that guy. Maybe Garlock will eventually become that guy. We know Rap isn't that guy.
AB's a year or two away.
You've got all of this sort of like, and you've got all these offensive talent, but not a good enough system to work. And then on the other side, as you said, if you're not shooting lights out, you're getting killed on the other end. And I said, when you had said earlier that you thought that we were going to win by 10, and I was like, no, man, Nebraska is a really good team. Like, we had no one to guard Mastin. Sure enough, he was our leading scorer. Like, I mean, we can't
– watching us defend him was so frustrating.
This is what I'm saying, though. This is going to – listen, the Big Ten is full of about a dozen guys like Mast. It's full of a dozen guys like Hoiberg. It's,
the issue I have with him watching him play is – he's not a hard guy to defend. You just have to be disciplined. And that's the problem with this team. You had guys jumping out of position or anytime he threw a shot fake or something, just trying to be like jump it. And he constantly would just counter it and get himself an easy shot. And it's like, how do you not understand how to play in the, like, one of the things, number one, we're not physical in the post at all. And that Mast feels like a guy who does not want somebody who's going to be physical with him, because all of his game is predicated off of finesse and being skilled and working off of rather than being bodied up. And we don't have anybody that is capable of just getting into him and kind of leaning on him when he wants to play in the post. And because of that, he just sits there and makes our soft interior defensive guys jump around until he gets an easy look.
We clearly need a five. We lost our five with Crowell. Winter's a better four. We know this. And I'm hoping that Garlock or AB can just develop more and faster to be that five, because Winter can't really play down there. But the other person that I want to place some blame on here, and I know you agree with this, is John Blackwell. Listen, man, let me just say this. You tested the NBA. Kudos to you. And you knew what you had to work on, which was defense and the ability to kind of, you know, score at a higher clip.
You have not.
And instead, now I said this a couple weeks ago. I said that the relationship between him and Nick Boyd, I feel like, is causing both of their games. We were expecting, oh man, this is going to be amazing. Nick Boyd's going to be the point. Blackwell can just be the two. But what's happening is that they both want to play hero ball. It's like they both want to be the best player on the team. And by God damn it, like they're going to find a way to be the best player on the team. And what's happening is you're getting ISO ball. You're getting hero ball. You're getting this, like, this sort of selfishness sometimes that comes out, and you're jacking up shots, trying to score. And then you're finding moments where Blackwell decides he just looks, and I'm not saying he's giving up, but he looks like he's just not caring as much. He looks like he's tired.
His body language isn't great.
Like, we need to figure this out. And if this team's going to go anywhere this season, John Blackwell has to take them there. So I'm hoping that after that game, there's a bit of a wake-up call, because we got our asses handed to us by 30 points in Nebraska. You need to go to Milwaukee and get it done against Villanova, and then a couple other games, because let me tell you, the Big Ten season's coming. Those, look at that schedule at the beginning of January. Purdue, UCLA, Michigan. Holy crap, we're going to get crushed if we play anything like we did against Nebraska. And it's not just the three-point shooting. It's the ability to do something else with the ball. John Blackwell needs to wake up.
Yeah, I'm going to throw in on this one here, TT Temp 44. Why on Nolan and Rapp gets a free pass? He does get a free pass. He's the worst defender on the entire team.
And no free pass.
If anything, that's my homework for Rapp, is I don't care about your offensive game. Your whole goal for this season should be to become a solid defender. I'm not asking you to be good. I'm asking you to mentally stay engaged on the defensive end and be able to positionally put yourself in a good spot to be able to at least disrupt your offensive player. And there are multiple times a game where he just loses track of the guy he's defending, and he's not engaged mentally, and he's a chucker. And I hate that. There's nothing more infuriating than watch a guy who constantly gives up points on the defensive end, then comes down to the offensive end, sits there and yells for the ball, and the second he gets it, he jacks up a three. Yeah. Like, that's the guy nobody wants to play with.
Yeah, man, for sure. And of course, on defense, like, you know, Herb Herman, great friend of the show, Tommy, says we have a team full of players who are disinterested on defense. Very well said. Just totally disinterested. And if they're not disinterested, then they suck at defense, which is also not good. Yeah. What are we doing?
Like, this is why the biggest surprise with this team was Bieluskis, because he is a guy that clearly is a little bit ahead of where we expected he'd be defensively, especially. And he plays hard and physically. But he's not there yet. Like, he's still a freshman, and there are times when it definitely shows. And that's the problem. When he's your best, like, interior defender, that is a massive issue, because right now I'd probably put him as slightly below average defensively, and that's your best interior defender.
Yeah. I mean, if that's the best we got, I mean, I'm telling you, there's just some problems coming here. Like, it's just not good. Is not good at all. Let's kind of circle back to the very beginning to wrap up the show here and talk about something good again. If you didn't listen to us talk about the women's volleyball team, go back to the beginning of the show. And I'm just, they play on Thursday. I was trying to pull up the time here. I don't have the time in front of me, but I'm sure someone in our chat can put it in there of what time they play on Thursday. It's so fun to watch this volleyball team. I'm so proud of these girls. Like, they absolutely have a chance to win the national title here. They're playing Kentucky. Then they'll play the winner of Texas A&M and Pittsburgh. Unbelievable performance against Texas. Unbelievable performance. I can't be excited enough about this team. That's my last five thoughts, man. I'm so proud of the women's volleyball team. And if you don't normally watch women's volleyball, this is something to watch. The NCAA tournament is super impressive. And this is a team that wears our name on their shirt, and they play their asses off, and they are absolutely fantastic. Justin, your final thoughts today.
Yeah, it's them. And then I'll do another one of the women's teams. Women's hockey has a month off, or over a month, before they're not up back on the ice until January 9th. But the women's sports teams are carrying the water for the men right now. You guys really need to step it up. Like, at least men's hockey is doing their part. Like, they're number two in the country, and there are people who are saying they should be one based off of who they beat. But man, this is hard to watch right now. Like, yeah. Football's in a rebuilding process, which thankfully, thanks to the portal, if you do this right, you have an opportunity to get yourself in a good spot. Basketball, it's going to come down to how bad you guys want it. Like, you're going to have to make a concerted effort to say over the remainder of the season, offense doesn't matter. We have got to find a way to get better defensively. And if that's where your energy goes, then so be it. You guys have got to find a way to be a consistent defensive team. And then on top of that, just for the love of God, move on offense.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. The Wisconsin-Kentucky game on Thursday, by the way, is 6 or 8 p.m. Central Time. So 8 p.m. Thursday night Central Time. It's on ESPN. Seriously, do it. I saw Evil Badgers is 8:30. I'm seeing 8. But either way, get out there and watch those Badgers. Support that team. If you're anywhere near Kansas City, go to the game because that's awesome. And if I was anywhere near there, I would definitely do it. Thanks for watching again. We'll be back next Sunday to talk about the Villanova game, to talk about this volleyball team. I'll be back tomorrow or Wednesday to do another Rajiv's Corner episode, podcast only. If you haven't checked that out, go check those out. They're about 20 to 30 minutes, podcast only episodes on our audio channels. I mean, listen, a mixed bag week. Football, we'll see what happens. Basketball, a mess. Volleyball, hell yeah, go Badgers. Thanks for listening. And as always, on Wisconsin.
On Wisconsin.
Where's my button? There it is.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to our YouTube channel at The Bucky Report or The Bucky Report Podcast from wherever you get your content. Until next time, on Wisconsin.